Welcome to the Master Builders Podcast, the podcast where we discuss issues affecting the building industry. It's the podcast by Master Builders for Master Builders. And I'm your host, Max Rafferty. MBA has just released our vision into the future of the construction industry. Attracting, recruiting, training, and retaining workers for our industry. We call it Future-Proofing Construction, a Workforce Blueprint. This paper is full of all sorts of interesting things. As an example, that we're going to need 486,000 workers in the building industry between 2023 and 2026. And nearly half of that required workforce will be technicians and trades, the vast majority of which will enter the industry through a trade apprenticeship. To talk about our blueprint, we're thrilled to present you a special guest, Jennifer Lawrence, the Manager of Industry Policy at Master Builders Australia. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Max.
So, tell me about your role at Master Builders. What do you do?
So my job involves jobs and skills policy, so everything to do with hiring apprentices and careers advocacy, looking at training product development in the vocational education sector, migration, aspects in there as well of sort of business support and acumen and helping small businesses, which is all really interesting, I find. I grew up in a small family business. My dad was a concreter and mum did the books on the dining room table. So very appropriate to be here working in this space now.
Your role's huge. What sort of stuff have you been looking at? Like if I asked you in the last month, what kind of things have you been looking at? What would you say?
So the biggest thing in the last month has been bringing together all the work that we've done here at Master Builders in relation to jobs and skills over the past probably quarter. There's been about 12 submissions that we've made to government policies and consultation processes. So we've brought all of that together to be our national blueprint for the future of our workforce. And it's quite interesting because we look at it and go, well, there are nearly 1.3 million people employed in our industry. There's 450,000 businesses. We've got 120,000 apprentices and trainees. That's 3 in every 10 apprentices and trainees in Australia are in our industry. But despite that, we are looking at a shortfall of nearly 500,000 workers by the end of 2026. So if we look at the rate our industry is growing as well as attrition, so people that are in the industry now but will leave over the next few years, that's where we get to this nearly 500,000 people that need to come into our industry, and that is a mammoth task.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders. And so in relation to all of that, you've made submissions to government, and like what's the hope? What do you want to get out? What are you wanting to get out of the submissions that you've made to government? What kind of outcome/influence are we trying to have?
Yeah, so that comes down to really the heart of what the National Office here does, and that's advocacy to government. So we explain the needs of the building and construction industry. So the people, the builders listening to this podcast, we're explaining the experience that you're having and the challenges that you're facing. And then we are making recommendations to government for actions that they can take, whether that's through legislation or government policies or programs or incentives to make things easier for the people in the building and construction industry.
So we know we're going to need huge numbers of new people to join the industry by the middle of the current decade, around 500,000. So where are these people going to come from?
It's a very good question, Max. So a lot of it's about careers education. Master Builders really has got a strong focus in this advocacy space around, well, what can we do to attract more people into our industry and into vocational education? And a big part of that for us, we think, is around reframing that apprenticeship story. So the
sort of stories that you hear around, oh, apprentices have rubbish wages and it's all hard work. I think that's something that we, as an industry, in consultation with government and with the members of our organisations, is that we need to address. And we need to change that rhetoric from poor wages to earn while you learn. If you're going to uni, you're paying uni fees. You may or may not have a low-paying job. You're not getting the same outcomes as an apprentice. We also need to change it, the narrative, so that it's challenging and inspiring, and that your apprenticeship is the beginning of a lifetime of opportunities. We looked at some basic analysis looking at sort of a built environment university course and what the fees would be, which is around $8,300 a year that it's capped at, that you would be getting as your like HECS help debt, versus what an apprentice would be earning if they were paid the minimum amount under our award. And after 4 years, you're looking at a $200,000 difference. So that the apprentice is going to be earning over that time period around $165,000. That's the minimum over their four-year apprenticeship. Not only that, but they're not getting a TAFE, they're not getting a debt for doing their education. Whereas at the same time, a university student doing a four-year built environment qualification is going to end up with a debt of about $33,000. So combined together, we're looking at nearly $200,000 difference. That's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
Are we worried about apprentices? Are people still undertaking apprenticeships?
There are. And at the moment in building and construction, there's around 120,000 apprentices and trainees in training. But it is an ongoing challenge to try and attract more workers and apprentices and trainees in. And I think our focus, particularly in our like workforce blueprint that I mentioned earlier, is around how do we get the right people in? And so part of that is about helping people that are looking at potentially joining the building and construction industry to understand the roles and to trial them out. Test the waters out. Go do a trade day through school or vet in school, or go do some work experience, because kids that can demonstrate to an employer that they have gone and tested the waters and they've got a realistic expectations and a good work ethic, they're the sort of people that are going to do really well in our industry. So some of the stuff around work readiness as well, what we've found through some of the research that we've done here is that although employers will use different words, generally speaking, there's a number of commonalities in things that they look for in an apprentice. So things around having a good work ethic, a good attitude towards safety, but also having realistic expectations of what the nature of working, not only in that particular trade, but in the building and construction industries more generally, as well as things like having a driver's license. They're all really important to employers. So the more that we can help apprentice or potential apprentices to be able to demonstrate that to an employer, the better the outcomes are going to be for everyone.
The future-proofing construction paper puts female workers in the construction industry at 13.3%. This indicates a huge opportunity to grow the industry workforce through increasing female participation. How do we do this?
So Master Builders is running a program at the moment with funding from the federal government called Women Building Australia. And that's just one of a multitude of programs available at the moment that are specifically addressing that very question. So Women Building Australia, one of the foundational elements of that is our participation at Career Expos. So we're raising awareness of all the different jobs in the building and construction industry. And we are sharing the stories of females who are successful and work in the industry to show young women in high school who are looking at their options that there are a huge range of really rewarding career opportunities for them in the building and construction industry. So often, I actually go along to a lot of these career expos and speak with the students directly. And a lot of the time you ask them, so what do you think are the jobs in the building and construction industry? And they can say, oh, being a builder or being a plumber, a painter. But often people don't realise that it's also a lot of things like scheduling and estimating or being an engineer or an architect or running your own business. One in six businesses in Australia are in the building and construction industry. And so there's this huge range of opportunities that are out there, and we're really just trying to improve awareness of that. In addition to trying to attract more women into the industry, there's a really key element to the program as well, which is around supporting females once they enter the industry. And so we're doing a mentoring program for new entrants. So people, females who've been in our industry for 1 to 5 years can sign up to be a mentee, and they're matched with people who've been in the industry for at least 6 years. And it just helps them to navigate through some of those trickier moments in the industry, and to help them to gain the support and confidence that they need to thrive and succeed and lead rewarding long-term careers in building and construction.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
This week we're kicking off with our first career expo. So kicking off on Thursday, the 4th of May, I'll be down in Melbourne at Caulfield Racecourse for the VET and VCE Career Expo with Women Building Australia. So we'll be there chatting with a lot of young women in high school about coming and joining us in building and construction.
Is there anywhere people can go to find out when these career expos are on that we might have a presence at?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you Google Women Building Australia, our website for this initiative will come up, and we will be at career expos all around the country over the coming months. I'm actually going to be there at the stand at most of them, so come and have a chat with me. If you know any young women around your city that you think would benefit from knowing a bit more about what opportunities there are in our industry, come along, say hello. So that's Women Building Australia on Google. Click on us, it's womenbuildingaustralia.com.au, and click on the Career Expos site on there, and that'll list when what we will be participating in.
And they can chat with you and collect a show bag.
Yes. So we've got the Women Building Australia Job Seeker Handbook that lists about 60 different occupations in our industry. And for each job, it outlines a bit of what you do on a day-to-day basis, what the key qualification is for the pathway, how much you might earn, what the future demand is, skills it helps to be good at. And then in that book, we also share stories from a lot of our influencers and ambassadors about their journey, what they've learned in the industry, and why that encouraged more women to come along and have a go.
Awesome. Sounds like heaps of fun. Well, thanks for your time, Jen, today.
Thanks, Max.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
The thing that intrigues me is how entrenched master builders are with looking into the future of the construction industry. How deeply master builders is involved with the conversations about the future of the construction industry. That's what Jennifer Lawrence does. I've got Shane Garrett with me. He doesn't need an introduction to many of you. We've spoken to Shane before. He's the chief economist at Master Builders Australia. This is a shakedown. Shane's here to run the industry numbers with us on recent data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. Hello, Shane. Great to have you back.
Hello, Max. Great to be back. Thanks for welcoming me here again.
Excellent. So we've got a whole bunch of things here. The ABS has just released its latest data last Friday on producer price index figures. Can you tell me what the producer price index is?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, Max. And what it is it's a measure by the ABS. It's the best measure we have of the cost of the materials that businesses use. And it also looks at the prices businesses charge to their customers at the other end. Now, this is an important one for us. It comes out 4 times a year. And as we all know, strong inflation in the cost of building materials and building products has put a lot of pressure on a lot of building companies over the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That set of figures that was put out on Friday, that's the best measure we really have of the way in which the costs of the stuff used by building companies are actually moving.
We have seen increases in costs of building materials. What are the standouts over the last 2 years?
Yeah, that's good. It's good to look back actually before we look ahead on this one. Last year, during 2022, the cost of building products was rising at almost 20% at one stage.
Goodness
year
me.
On year, which, yeah, goodness me indeed. You'd have to go all the way back to 1975 to find a time when the prices were actually increasing at a faster rate. So that was obviously a huge pressure, the fact that prices were going up by so much in the first instance, and the fact that it was so unexpected and unanticipated by building companies and construction companies, it made it much more difficult to actually cope with when it happened.
And this is for products like steel and timber?
Steel, timber, what they give us there, the figures are really quite comprehensive and they cover about 38 different types of building materials and building products used in the industry across Australia. And yeah, you're right, the cost increases were heaviest when it came to steel, wood and timber. They were the things that were increasing most quickly for most of 2022. And they're the things that were the source of the greatest pressures. And obviously, given the fact that steel and timber are so important to the work that our industry does, it was a real difficulty.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
So with these latest figures, what are we seeing?
Well, what we're seeing, the general trend of these figures is an improving one, because during the first 3 months of this year, during the first 3 months of 2023, the price, the collective sort of overall price of materials used to build houses rose by less than 2% compared with the previous quarter. And that represents a good trend, because this is the third quarter in a row in which the pace of cost increases actually slowed compared with the previous quarter. Now, having said that, prices are still a good bit higher than they were this time last year, but there are some welcome trends actually appearing in the figures. The first is that they've been consistently slowing down for three quarters in a row. The second is that some of the prices and some of the products which caused the greatest pressures for us during last year, the price of some of those products has actually started to fall. Those costs declined in the first 3 months of this year for certain things. Reinforcing steel was one of them. Plywood and board prices for those things went back as well. And for a few other random bits and pieces, the price actually dropped. And that's great to see. It's great to see that the price of some of the things that were causing the greatest headaches last year are actually starting to move backwards. Now, there's a mixed bag in the figures. So as I say, the overall trend in them is an encouraging one. But there's always a but. Some prices of some things have actually started to grow a little bit more quickly than before. Electrical equipment, cement, some ceramic products as well. The price of those has actually started to speed up over the last couple of quarters. And a lot of that is related to the fact that heat is used quite intensively in the production of those. And the price increases for things like gas, etc., has made it much more expensive to produce those things than it had before.
Right. So shifts in the energy market have essentially had knock-on effects, and in those energy intense manufactured materials prices, we're seeing a price increase.
That's right. So the price, not the price of everything, isn't decelerating, but the price of some things is getting a little bit more pressurized. But as I say, the general trend is a good one, in that the collective movement is that it's slowing down.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
Noting what you've just said, do we think that we will see a drop in the future, or is that not really on the cards?
Well, I think it's quite possible that we will see, as I say, some things have already started to drop in cost, which is very welcome for building companies. I think there's a good chance that the amount of dropping that we're going to see in terms of cost and price is going to get more prevalent over the next year or so. And the reason I say that is because right across the global economy, building and construction is slowing. And that will mean that the supply of all of these products will become a little less under pressure over the next while. That'll be good from the point of view of Australia. It'll mean that perhaps we can import stuff a bit more cheaply than before. The other aspect to it, of course, is that speculation, commodities markets, you know, commodities cover a wide range of products, you know, agricultural products, precious metals, but also things like timber and steel. There was a lot of speculation, a lot of hoarding and speculation going on during 2021 and 2022 when it came to those materials. The price was rising quickly and some people were just buying them in the hope that the price would increase further and that they would then be able to sell them at a profit. But because of the fact that prices are slowing or even dropping now for many of these things, it's likely that all of the stuff which was hoarded in previous years will actually be dumped onto the market. In fact, we're probably already seeing some of that happening, and that's likely to cause prices to weaken as well over the next number of months, perhaps over the next year or two even. So I'd be reasonably hopeful that the price of most of these items will decelerate. But as I say, there is a risk that the cost of materials, which use a lot of gas and thermal energy, that the price of those could still be a source of trouble for us during 2023 because of the fact that they're more expensive than before to produce.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
Right. Well, that I guess in some senses we'll take small wins. We're quite happy to see a little bit of the pressure
yes,
fall
well,
off
it's
in
good
that
to,
area.
Good, there's no news like good news.
Yes, agreed. Now I'm going to shift gears and I'm going to ask you about the Reserve Bank of Australia. They've recently met, and I'm just wondering if you can explain why interest rates are so important in the construction industry at the moment.
Yeah, well, interest rates has been the story really of the last 12 months, because it was this time last year, May of 2022, when we actually got our very first interest rate increase in Australia in over 10 years. So it was a landmark at the time. And of course, we've got many more increases since May of last year, unfortunately. Why does the RBA put interest rates up? They put interest rates up because inflation in the economy was and still is too high. Inflation peaked at about 8% last year. That was the highest it's been in well over a decade. In fact, it was the highest actually we got since 1990. And of course, the problem for us being in the building and construction industry is that we work and operate in one of the most interest rate sensitive parts of the whole economy.
That is a fabulous segue to the next thing I'd like to ask you. Is there sectors of our industry which are more sensitive to this shift?
Yes, there are. Building and construction activity obviously depends on people's willingness to borrow money. And of course, people's willingness and people's ability to borrow money depends on where interest rates are going. And if people think that interest rates are going to keep increasing for a while, they're going to be less willing to borrow money. And that, of course, means that they're less willing to borrow money for building a new home, for undertaking major home renovation. All of those things suffer at a time of rising rates. You also have to look at the parts of our industry which depend on businesses and companies whose ultimate goal is to make profits. When interest rates are going up for them, the incentive for them to undertake major building works is eroded, and activity will suffer on this time. I guess at a time of rising interest rates, our industry will become much more dependent on non-profit orientated investment coming from things like the government and from the public sector. Those are the areas of the economy which kind of need to fill the gap left behind by the decline in private sector demand and the private sector financing capacity resulting from weaker conditions when it comes to interest rates as we're seeing at the moment.
Right. So if I was to recap what I think you just told me, we've got the Reserve Bank, they're raising the base points, if that's the right terminology, I'm not sure.
Yeah, good enough for
interest rates, looking to curb inflation and spending. And so when we see that curbing of that spending start to happen, the place we might see it, we might tend to see it the most is in that residential space, so housing, apartments, things like that.
Yes.
And then, so the gap that is essentially left from people who may have gone into the market but think, oh, hang on a minute, I'm not sure I can afford to buy money at this rate, will will look to be filled by government spending, essentially.
That's right. And it is worth saying, you mentioned the different types of residential building that we have. Some parts of that are more interest rate sensitive than others. If you're somebody who's a developer or a builder and you're looking to, say, create a new apartment project with 20 different apartments in it, the interest rate environment, when you have a situation where interest rates have risen by a good bit and they may rise again in the future, the actual commercial viability of taking the plunge and going ahead with that kind of work, it takes a lot more financial bravery, I guess, to go ahead with it. And a lot of projects like that will just not end up being proceeded with as a result of the change in the financing environment caused by higher interest rates. You also have to remember that many of these projects, they take quite a number of years to build. And if you're not sure about how favorable and how healthy the environment will be in, say, 2 or 3 years' time when your new project is likely to get finished, if you think that that might actually be worse than it is today, then you're far less likely to actually press the button on it now. And that's another problem that we face when we try and incentivize people to build more at a time of more difficult economic conditions like now.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
So if I come back to more ABS stats, the consumer price index figures that were released by the ABS last Wednesday, these figures are also another important measure for the tracking of inflation.
Now, if we look at the different bits that are affecting our inflation rate, obviously a lot of it is to do with what's going on in the rest of the world. A lot of our inflation pressures were imported. Inflation was high in lots of different countries. And when you're a trading economy like ours, a lot of our imported stuff goes up in price because of inflation happening in different economies. And that was one of the reasons why inflation got so high here as well. But there were aspects related to building and construction activity that also affected the mix. For example, last year, the cost of a newly built home was increasing very strongly across Australia. And that actually has a direct impact on the calculation of the economy's whole inflation rate. So that when the final ticket price of new homes is increasing very strongly, that actually causes the inflation rate to be forced up. Now, what do the latest figures show on that front? They show good news. Like I said, the cost of building materials has been decelerating quite sharply over the last few quarters, and that is starting to have a positive effect on the final cost of building new homes. The cost of building new homes is still going up, but it has started to really slow to a crawl in terms of the pace of increase. And in fact, in Melbourne and Brisbane, new home building costs have actually eased back very slightly in the first 3 months of this year, which is probably a good sign to see. It shows that we're no longer under such cost pressure in some parts of the country. So that is largely a good news story. It means that better construction cost conditions are starting to weaken the inflation rate for our economy overall.
You're listening to the Master Builders Podcast, by Master Builders, for Master Builders.
It was great to talk to Shane Garrett, to run the numbers with Shane and get the latest insights, who always has his finger on the pulse for the data of the building industry. We will be revisiting Shane's world in the future.
Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Max Rafferty, and until next time, stay safe.
This is a shakedown. Order up that beat just like a takeout.